Police of America. I'd like to welcome everybody here. When we think about the year that passed, we know as Torah Yidden that everything that happens in the world is significant. Natural disasters, wars, are all reasons for reflection and spiritual introspection. At the same time, when things happen in our own individual lives, we also have to look deeply within ourselves to try to find divine clues about how we might improve ourselves. Each year at Rosh Hashanah, we implore Hashem, Tichle shana v'kilaseho, tochil shana v'birchaseho. Let the past year with its curses end, and a new year with its blessings begin. In order to do that, we have gathered here tonight. We're pleased that we have had a night, good shutfist together with a group of Choshev Yungalite that are working very hard to be Marbitz Torah in Monsi, and it's Baruch Hashem growing to other locations. The Monsi Night Seder, which offers the Yeshivish Night Seder atmosphere for Balabatim, looking to involve themselves in learning as they did in the Yeshiva days. A special group of Yungalite that work on this, Bahas Nalechas, they don't want anybody's name mentioned. We just want to acknowledge a donation L'Zeicha Nishmas HaChover Moshe Mordechai Ben Tzvi Zecher Levarcha in order to help with the local publicity. We are joined tonight by over 24 locations around the United States, Agudas Yisrael branches, Young Israel shuls, Kollelim, Kiruv programs all over America, Scottsdale, Arizona, Los Angeles, California, Denver, Colorado, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Jacksonville, Florida, Surfside, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, Indianapolis, Sharon, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Maryland, Detroit, Michigan, St. Louis, East Brunswick, New Jersey, Lakewood, New Jersey, Las Vegas, Nevada, Riverdale, New York, and Washington Heights, New York, in Queens, Kew Gardens Hills, Lawrence, New York, Scranton, Providence, Milwaukee, and Toronto. In addition, there are a number of communities that had conflicts on the calendar and weren't able to be in tune with us tonight, so they're going to be showing it during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Westwood, California, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Passaic, New Jersey, and Cleveland, Ohio. Many of these communities, over the last number of years, was zeicha to have visiting them Harav Shmuel Dishon, our first speaker. That's probably one of the reasons why so many of them were anxious to be part of us tonight. It is my privilege to introduce now Harav Shmuel Dishon, the Menahal of Yad Yisrael Karlin Stolen, to address us.
There's a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Toldos that on the surface sounds very simple. The pasuk is Vayozeid Yaakov Nozid. And Yaakov took the suit. Vayavo Yosef min Hasada, and Esav came from the field, Vehu Oyev, and he was tired. Very simple. But an in-depth look into the real happenings and what transpired will show us a diverse attitude to a difficulty in life. Two extreme opposites. Avraham Avinu left the world. We learned about it in the Daf lately. Esav had a brilliant mind. He was a genius. But with his brilliancy, was not able to comprehend the fact that Avraham Avinu died. And therefore he uttered the following words: Zaken ze pogrobo mides adin. This old sage was smitten with a strict measure of justice. Lestim velestai. There is no justice and there is no judge. The world is leaderless. And as a result of this notion, the Gemara tells us, Chomesh aveiros ovar oiso rosho beoiso hayoi. Five major aveiros did he transgress on this day. Chofo beisha. Chofo betrias amesi. Horages anefesh. Bo'al naram urosa. And bizui habechayla. Four of these averos we derive from the pasuk oyef, and one the Torah tells us specifically about. And Reb Aaron Zichron Levracha and Reb Moshe both asked the same kasha. The first four major averos are so harsh, and the Torah doesn't tell us clearly about them. We have to derive them from the pasuk. And Vayivez Ezev Esav Choyro, the Torah spells out so clearly. And the answer is because that was the source of evil. Bizui HaMitzvah. The world is leaderless. Yaakov Avinu is an Ishtom Yoshev Yehoven. He did not have the brilliancy of Esav. He was an Ishtom Yoshev Yehoven. He too loved his grandfather Avram, and probably in a much greater measure than that of Esav. He was faced with a tragedy. He lost his grandfather. What did he do? Vayozeid Yaakov nozid. Yaakov took the stew. What type of stew was that? Kadosh Baruch Hu should help all of us who did not have it yet. There's a seuda called the seuda savra'a. A meal that an ovel eats when he comes back from the levaya, and the halacha states that he is not allowed to eat his own food. His shechenim have to come with it and prepare it for it. And that seuda savra'a is interesting. Every component of that seuda symbolizes emuna. Eggs, the world is round, cycle of life, adashim. So let's see at the two opposite reactions to a difficulty in life. The Bechor Esav, who was raised in the same house as Yaakov Avinu, announces that the world is leaderless, and therefore sails out into the ocean of a leaderless world. And Chomesh Aveiros Ovar Oyse Rosha Oyse Hayoyim. And Yaakov Avinu, Ish Tom Yoyshev Oyholim, is Mekabel Din Shemayim Ve'ahava. Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once coined a beautiful phrase. There are some that use every difficulty in life as an excuse for their failures. And some look at it as a challenge. As a challenge that you grow from. When we talk about difficulties in life, personal life, the life of a Klal Yisrael, a difficult year, we must remember these two approaches. A difficulty is only a nisoyen, it's a challenge that we can draw from. And Rabbi Yisai took Yaakov Avinu 115 years to culminate this approach. Yaakov Avinu's life was a very, very difficult life. As he himself says so to Paro. Difficult life. Challenge after challenge. We will come back to that. Living with Esav. Even pre-birth. And then 20 years in Beis Lavan, that every Seder night we emphasize, B'kesh la'akoyres akoyl. He lived with an individual that wanted to outroot the entire Klal Yisrael. And then comes the tragedy of tragedies. Yaakov Avinu was given a mission. Yeshaya HaNovi says, Koy Oma Hashem lebeis Yaakov Ashefodes Avram. So did Hashem say to the house of Yaakov that redeemed Avram. And Rashi says, Mikiv Shana Esh. The Kiv Shana Esh was so many years before Yaakov was born. Then how did Yaakov redeem Avram from Kiv Shana Esh? And the Medrash tells us that when Avram Avinu was thrown into the Kiv Shana Esh, to the furnace, there was a debate in Bezni Shilmalo, should he be saved or not? Maybe he should join the Kedoshim and Tehoyim HaShemayim. And the decree was Avram will be saved. Why? Because he is about to give birth to a son called Yitzchak. And Yitzchak will give birth to a son called Yaakov. And Yaakov has a mission to build a house called Shiftei Koh, who will eventually stay by HaSinai and announce Naaseh V'Nishma, which is the Tachlis of Bryas HaOlam. Yaakov Avinu could not leave Beis Lavan before he gave birth to Yosef. Yosef is the major foundation. V'hoyo Beis Yaakov Eish uvois Yosef Lehovo. The biggest counterforce to Esav is Yosef. And now, Yosef is gone. And this beautiful house that Yaakov built is collapsing. Yosef is gone. Shimon is gone. And for 20 years, Yaakov Avinu lives in darkness, in uncertainty. What happened to Yosef? Something in his heart told him that Yosef didn't die because he could not accept Nechama for him. And then finally, the news comes that Yosef is alive in Mitzrayim. Alive means alive. My Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once asked the Kashi, why didn't Yosef send a messenger to Yaakov the minute he came to power that he is alive? And he answered, he could have died when he heard the news. Yosef is a Melech of Mitzrayim. Who knows? Who knows the way he looks? But now he heard that Oiz Yosef Chai. He is really alive. Vechiyu Moishel Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. First, Vayochad Libo Shelo Yahamin Lohem. And Yaakov Avinu travels B'gzeiras HaMelech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Mitzrayim. And we all know that emotional meeting, that holy moment when Yosef and Yaakov meet. Our mental facilities are too small to really comprehend what happened at that meeting. Yosef and Yaakov meet, and the Torah HaKadosh tells us that Yosef ran to Yaakov and he hugged him and he kissed him. and we hear no reaction from Yaakov Avin. And the Chazal HaKadoshim tell us, Uma Oso Yaakov Ve'Oso Sho Koroshma. He learned Rishma. And we all know the famous Kasha, why that moment? And the Balei HaMusar tell us that Yaakov realized that the ecstasy he has this moment, the high elevation of soul that he has this, then will never return. And he wanted to divert it all to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why he said Shema Adonai. If we allow to use human terminology, he did not want to waste these feelings on human. But based on what we said before, we will understand it now on a much higher level. Yaakov Avinu believed for 20 years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct with him is Midas Hadin Shebe Midas Hadin, the epitome of Midas Hadin. And all of us remember from time we went to learn in Chedem that Midas Hadin is represented with the Shem Elohim. So Yaakov Avinu thought the Ribbono Shel Olam is misnahed with him, is his conduct with him is Midas Elohim. But now he sees Yosef. And he sees the Shekhinah on his face. You know why he had the Shekhinah? Yosef told his brothers later on, Atem chashavtem aloi ra. Your intentions were no good. Elohim chashav ala toivah. But God's intentions were good. And what were they? The man asot hayoim azeh lahach yois amrov. Rabbi said, what does it mean? The man asot hayoim azeh lahach yois amrov. Once heard from the Mashiach of Lakewood, a word in the name of the Eish Dos, Oshav Rebbe. What do you mean, hayoim azeh? Where do we find in Yosef's life the word Kayoim Hazeh? When? You know when? By the big Nisoyon, when he almost collapsed. It says, Vayehi kehayoim hazeh, Vayovo Yosef habayta. And he almost collapsed. Rabbi said, the Chazal HaKadoshim tell us, if Yosef would have collapsed at that Nisoyon, it would have been a spiritual disaster for Klal Yisrael. Almost in no way to repair. Because Yosef started by coming earlier to Mitzrayim was cleansed the air of Tumah that permeated the whole of Mitzrayim. It was Ervas Aoras. And if Chas V'Sholem Yosef would have collapsed, for Eishes Potiphar, the Zohar HaKadosh says, was really a klipa. It would have been a disaster for Klal Yisrael. But Yosef did not collapse. B'shus Aviv. So he tells his brother, Leman Asor Kayoim Hazeh, that's why I came to Mitzrayim. Lehach Yos Amrov, to prepare Mitzrayim and make it as a country where we can dwell in, and live in. And even though Klal Yisrael failed in many aspects in Mitzrayim, in Kedusha, no one failed. Except Shloim Es Bazivri. And it was also not so clear, it was an oinus. Where the Klal Yisrael slaves, who do not have their own independence, have the strength to overcome Ervas Aoretz? From when? From that Nisoyan. And when Yosef passed that Nisoyan, Yaakov, he was Zoyche, the Chazal tell us, to an unbelievable Hashoah Sashchina. So Yaakov Avinu sees Yosef now. And he understands that the 20 years that he thought were the worst 20 years in his life were really the best. So Yosef had a mission to accomplish. A mission that no one was supposed to know about it, only the Ribbono Shel Olam and Yosef. So you know why he said Shema? He was talking to himself. And he said, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel. Hashem Elokeinu. You thought once that Hashem, Midas HaChesed VeHarachmim, and Elokeinu are two separate things. But now you see Hashem Echad. It's one thing. It just takes time to realize it. You know when that happened? When Yaakov Avinu was 130 years. So that undertaking of accepting a challenge and passing Nisyoinus, Nisyoinus after Nisyoin, culminated with the announcement of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, when Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef. And Yaakov Avinu, who is an embodiment of Klal Yisrael, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, inherited us the Koyach. Klal Yisrael said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, even before seeing the Yeshua like Yaakov Avinu saw it. We have this Koyachus. And a bit an earlier stage in Yaakov Avinu's life. And that was when he comes out of Beis Lovan. Abu Yisrael, can you imagine? First of all, I saw Mordechai Shavuot from a bound hotel. When Yaakov Avinu came to Beis Lovan, he was 77 years old. And as we said before, he knew that his mission was to build a Klal Yisrael, shift the car. Who gave the idea of Evod Choshev Ashonim Berochel Bitro Haktan? Was it Lovans or Yaakov? Yaakov still needs another 7 years before he will get married and bring down to the world Shiftei Torah? It wasn't the idea of Lovan. Why did Yaakov want another 7 years? So Rabban Zichron Levrocha explains. A thought we should all remember. He says, a father can give his children only what he possesses in his own genes. What a father does not possess, he cannot give to his children. Yaakov Avinu was a masmid otzim. He was 14 years by Shem ben Aver. He learned all his life, but he was never in Golus. And Yaakov Avinu saw beruach hanevuah that his children will be in Golus many years. So he wanted himself to first be 7 years the whole Shemitah in Golos. And which Golos? The Golos of Lovan Arami. Shebikesh Lakol Esakoil. And inoculate himself in his genes, the ability to survive. And when he completed those 7 years, he goes to Lovan and he says, Hova Sishti, I'm ready to get married. And now bring down to this world Shiftei Torah, who will be able to survive every Golos that will ever endure. If we survive the Golos, and we are surviving the Golos, and we are successful in the challenges that we are, despite all the difficulties, it's because we were inoculated by Yaakov Avinu. And then the Tzar Shel Esav sees Yaakov Avinu coming out of Mitzrayim, of Beis Lovan, sorry. He was frightened till now because he was sure that Lovan will destroy Yaakov. But now he sees he's about to lose the war. Vayivoso Yaakov Levado. Rabbi say Levado doesn't mean he was alone. Levado means he was pure. There was not one iota whatsoever of the spirit of Beis Lovan on Yaakov Avinu. He says, now it's time to fight. Vayivoso Yaakov Levado. Levado. Vayeovek ish imoi ad aloi sashocha. Who was that ish? The Tzar Shel Esav. We will be able Do we possess the mental facilities to understand that war between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav? But the Gemara tells us a little bit about it. The dust of their feet reached until the Kisei HaKavod. What does it mean? One of my great rabbis, Rav Gedal Yeshor, once told us, what's the pshat in that? He said like this. The Sar Shel Esav asked himself, where did Yaakov Avinu take the strength to overcome Beis Lavan? Lavan was, he says in Zohar HaKadosh, was a mechashef noiron. He told Yaakov, Yesh lehem yodi lasasim chemra, I can really kill you and destroy you. But he didn't. Where did Yaakov Avinu take the strength for 20 years to bypass all the nisyonis? And he got it from the Kisei HaKavod. We all know, the Gemara tells us, that the Demus of Yaakov, the picture of Yaakov, is inscribed in the Kisei HaKavod. So Yaakov Avinu always knew, if I fail, the Kisei HaKavod fails with me. I can't fail. I am the individual which is on Kisei HaKavod. So the Sar Shel Esav wanted to take dust and throw it into the eyes of Yaakov and blind him and separate him from the Kisei HaKavod. But Yaakov realized, what are you giving me, dust? What are you offering me? Dust? Yaakov Avinu was not fooled by the dust that the Sar Shel Esav was trying to throw in his eyes and separate him from the Kisei HaKavod. Rabbi said, you know who we are? Each and every one of us is derived from the Kisei HaKavod. That's where, from where our neshamas come. Every neshama of every single lead comes from the height of heights. And according to one shot in the Mishnah, Da Me'ayin Boso, you should know where you come from. You know where you come from? From the Kisei HaKavod. Ule'ana Tehoilach means you know how high you can get? Yes. Challenges? Of course. Difficulties? Yes. Great difficulties. But this is what life is all about. This is what life is all about. It's difficulties in life that make people grow. If they realize it's only a challenge. Our door has seen giants and simple people who were able to face the greatest challenge in the world and not collapse. Most of us who are a bit older saw giants. I'll mention a few of the great rabbis and a few of the great Rosh Hashiva. The Gerer Rebbe Zichron Levroch of the Beis Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, leaving his wife and his children in Poland, and it left an open wound with him for the rest of his life. The Klozer Buger Rebbe lost 11 children. 11 children. The Belzer Rebbe lost 13 children. Rebbe Lemeir Bloch tells the Rosh Hashiva, famous letter. He writes to a friend of his. Says, I apologize if I'm not so coherent today. It was only yesterday he got the final confirmation that his wife and his children, I think 10 children, perished with a Telzer Kehillah. And the halacha is, if it's a shmur, a chaytra, if it's more than a chaydish, the avelus is very short. He says, but there's no time to cry. I have to prepare a shir today. I have to prepare a shir. There's no time to cry. And most of us knew these individuals. Someone might say these were giants. It's true, they were giants. How many even did each and every one of us know who had to go through first the nisoyon of Kipshon Ha'esh, of Avraham Avinu, Kipshon Ha'esh Kipshutoi, and then Lech Lecha Me'arzecha U'Memoladetecha and start a new life? And whatever we see around today is a result of their approach of Yaakov Avinu, not of Esav, not of Zochen Zeh Podlov Zohar Midas Adin, but of Yisudas Abroon and Nechama. We had a difficult year.
Yes,
we had a difficult year. But these are challenges.
Nisyoines.
Just to make the atmosphere a bit easier, just for a minute, till we come back to more serious. The trust to Rebbe Zichron Livracha was, the atmosphere in the trust was very, very, very serious. And once in Shoshana, the Baal Tocheha held the shofar, and not one call came out. Not one call. Nobody understood it. The Rebbe came out of his room, he used to sit down in his own room, he runs over to the Baal Tocheha, takes off his talus, he says, no! Simon said, me! And the cheers start going. Phenomenal! After the davening, the Baal Tocheha goes over to the Rebbe with pachad and he says, tell me, Rebbe, is it a stula to take off the talus when the cheers gets stuck? He says, it's stula? What are you talking about? When you were covered with the talus, the sultan thought, who knows who is blowing shofar from you? He tried to stop you. When I took off the talus and he looked at you, he says, him? It's all right, let him go. Rabbeisai! And then he told them, Ying your man! Asigate ring, asimen asigornished. Asigate ring, asimen asigornished. If there's no challenges, it's a simen mashumayim that your avoidance Hashem is worthless. Challenges are a signal that what we're doing is right. It's testing us. And Chazal tell us, Asor Nisyonis Nisnas Navom Avinu Ve'omad Bekulom. And the Mefoshi HaTorah tells us that the word Nisoyon has a double meaning. Test and a flag. It comes from the word Nes Lehisnoisis. An opportunity to rise. The Akedah dominates a big part of Rosh Hashanah. And a lot of the Mefoshim ask, Tache, big Nisoyon to Shecht Yitzchak, but Avraham Avinu was then Avraham Avinu. Rabbi said, in order to increase the Nisoyon, two things happen. First, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kachno has been Chosichitcha Asher Ahavto, he implanted in him the biggest love a father can have to his son. But at the same time, we all know that in order to pass a Nisoyon, a person has to be on his best. On his best. And when he's down and out, very difficult to pass on his son. And you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Avraham Avinu? Eikev asher shoma Avraham bekoli. He pushed it down to the level of Eikev. The Okev, the heel, is the least sensitive part in the body of a person. Avraham Avinu lost all his sensitivities. Bayares amokom erachoy. He felt distant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the door of Ikvus of the Mashiach, it says in Sfarim. The Asor Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu are 10 Tufas in Klal Yisrael. The Nisoyon of Ikvus of the Mashiach is Vayares Amot V'Merochot. We feel distant sometimes. Eichem, we lose our sensitivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know how high Avraham rose? There was a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. The Zvila Rebbe Zichel Tzaddik Nevrocha, Rebbe Shlomo to Zvila, was a Malach Elokim. Mamash Malach Elohim. And he said over a medrash, we'll soon go to Kaporos, those of us who go to the Shechita, and we see him, that the halacha shulchano, the Shechita has to check the knife, right? B'dikas Asaka. 12 times. Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak was tight on the Mizbeach. And he tells his father, Abba, Tate, you forgot to make Bdichas Asakin. And Bdichas Asakin has to be done with Yishuv Adas. Yitzchok is telling his father, he's tied down to be shechted. Tati, relax. You have to check the knife now. And that you have to do with Yishuv Adas. Please move away a little bit so you'll be able to compose yourself. You remember we all learned when we were younger the Malachim started to cry by the Akedah? That's when they cried. When they saw a human being rising to such levels to such levels of being able to make bedikas asakim with yishuv adas. Rabbi, that moment, Avraham Avinu put into the genes of Klal Yisrael what we heard so many times, that at the most difficult moments of Akedas, Yidden had yishuv adas. All the stories that we read about, those that did not surrender, all the stories derived from that moment of Avraham Avinu, when he was able to compose himself and make B'dichas Asakim with Yishuv Adas. And we have this Toiches. Chas v'sholom, we should have used it on that time. And if we see sometimes things that bother us, yes, our voice will be soon going to lane. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to depart from Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to bring Yehoshua with him and anoint him as the one who will take over the mantle of leadership. And what words did Moshe Rabbeinu hear from the Rabbanu Shalom? That's the farewell party. I'm going to let go of them. The hefer is brisi. Ve'onoichi aster asti upon him ayoy mahu. Ve'oma aloyal kein elokai bekir bi metzuni heroi soile. That's the news that you tell Moshe Rabbeinu after 40 years of such loyal leadership. That's the welcoming words to Yehoshua. Zok the heiliker Rav Saad Yeduan. And this is a message we all have to take along with us now when we are going through difficulties. He says there's two conducts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to unholies. One of them, Mashgiach min haChaloyim. Sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Chaloyim, a window, we see him, he sees us, this is called Gilui Ponim. But sometimes it's Meitzitz min haCharakim. We don't see him. He's just peeking through the cracks. But you know what's pshat. V'onoichi aster asti uponai. Oh, does he say a heilig pshat? He says sometimes a father tells a child, don't run around. Don't run around. Child did not listen. And he runs around. And he fell. And he tore himself. And he needs the stitches. And the father picks him up and he runs with him to the doctor. And the doctor says, I have no choice, I must make the stitches right now without any anesthesia. It's going to be very painful. But you must help him because the child is going to move. So you are the father, you have to hold him. Can the father look or he closes his eyes? The Rabbanu Shel Olam says, I love you so much, I'll hold you down when this takes place. But I will not be able to look that Chas v'sholom, the Eibishter is masked upon him from us. Onoichi astir asti upon I will turn away because I love you so much. And I will not be able to see your pain. But I will never let go of you. In the most difficult times, even if we think it's the biggest Hastoris. Yes, it is Hastoris. We wish it would have been Gilui Ponim. But the Eibishter is holding down for us. He is holding down to us tight because the process of healing has to go through. The process of healing has to go through. And this is a part of it. This is a part of it. Painful process. And this year we went through very difficult processes. One was a collapse. I don't want to use Milsa the B'dichasis. Rav Shor Zichron Levroch, Rav Gedalia Shor once told me, he spoke about individuals who live in the world of dreams and fantasies. He says the media today has an ability to create imaginary worlds that don't even exist. And create lifestyles that really have no foundation. He says sometimes a person can pass by an apartment house, a huge apartment house, and slowly starts realizing, fantasizing that it's really his. Makes him feel good. He's a rich man. He says, that's not the worst. He says, the worst is if he believes it so much that he goes there to collect rent. That's when he's in trouble. When the fantasy becomes a reality with him. And he goes to these big apartment houses to collect rent. For a long time, a lot of us believed in many, many huge apartment houses. And suddenly everything collapsed. Those institutions that people looked up to as the epitome of strength, as the epitome of wealth, as the epitome of your future. You have a job there, you're secured for life. I still remember when people used to tell me, he became a Malamed in a yeshiva, he got a job in AT&T, he's secured for life. People don't even know anymore what AT&T is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berachu V'Berov Chasodov opened up our eyes to realize it and to see it. It was a very, very difficult lesson. And now, Rabbi Isai, I debated with myself for a long time whether to mention what I'm going to mention about now. If Rabbi Perl mentioned a difficult year that was, the Dati, the most difficult thing that happened this year to us, was the agony beyond description of words that was caused by a few individuals to the entire Jewish community world over. I think I spoke enough. I was a few weeks ago in São Paulo. Beautiful Svardische Kehillah. Beautiful Svardische Kehillah. And over there, a lot of Bnei Torah, a lot of Talmid Chachamim. And they asked me, Makara, how did it happen? How did it happen? Is it true that it happened? That one of two took an entire kehillah? The best thing would be maybe not to talk about it. But it would be wrong. Because if we said before that we have to accept things as a challenge and learn from and grow from, this certainly is one of them. My Rabbi said, Golos, we said before that Yaakov Avinu waited for 7 years to give birth to his first son Reuven because he wanted to inoculate us in an ability to survive in Golos. But one way to survive in Golos is to realize that we are in Golos. Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha. Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha. The one who predicted Divrei Nevuah about the survival of American Jewry said in Yeshiva Torah V'Das on Bedford Avenue those days, most of the talks that he gave, which is in a sefer, Torvitz Ma'amorim, was over there in Yeshiva Torah V'Das. He says, "Hamavu b'Kodesh L'Chol, ben Oyel L'Choishech, ben Yisrael Lo'amen." He asked the Kasha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu set certain rules in Teva, certain rules in nature. There's a Shkia, there's a Netz, and there's Ben Hashmoshes. And someone will come one day and will say he wants to shorten the Bein Hashmortos. Can you do that? You cannot. Oil the Choshech have their rules. You cannot make the Bein Hashmortos shorten. Ben Yisroel lo Amim, there has to be a separation. There has to be a separation Ben Yisroel lo Amim. Just like Ben Yoyim Ashvili Sheisha Me'am Maaseh. And any attempt to bring closer Yisroel lo Amim will Chas V'Sholem bring about Hofach levovom lisnoi amoi. If we will try to get closer to the Amim, then hofach levovom lisnoi amoi. And this is when you see, it's a very, very painful parsha what happened. But a part of the parsha came as a result of people trying to break the rules of Ben Yisroel lo Amim. Maybe there's a shtichle moser in each and every one of us. Rav Pam Zichrono Levracha once spoke about the Iyun of Lashon Hara. And he says, if someone will tell you that you are a moser, a moser. Rav Pam said, every time a Yid speaks Lashon Hara about a fellow Yid, he's a Moser. He's a Moser to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Zohar HaKadosh says, there's no one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates like someone who speaks against his children. You know why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the Bezen Shel Ma'alo like Bezen Shel Ma'at. As long as only one aid to what wrong someone did, he cannot be prosecuted. But the minute someone speaks Lashon Hara, he becomes the second aid. And his words come up to the best Lashon Hara. And that Yid is able to be prosecuted now. So what happens? The Baditchi Lerov comes to the best Lashon Hara and says, Rabbanu Shalom, that person really didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. And he's able to convince the Bezen Shel Ma'alo, the person didn't mean it. Suddenly, the Bezen Shel Ma'alo hears a tefillah gathering. There's a choyle. And the Baditcha Rav runs to the Bezen Shel Ma'alo, tells Rabboni Shel Olam, look, the Yidnam is powerful for a choyle. So the Rabboni Shel Olam comes to the Sotman and tells the Baditcha Rav, didn't you just tell us they don't mean what they say? So let's make a package deal. Either we accept the tefillahs and their words, and then that's what Rav Pam said. So maybe we will try to uproot that moser from us. Chas v'shalom, we will never have what followed thereafter. I think we were all so hurt by what happened. The Beza Hashem is Baruch. It's not going to happen again. I'll conclude with two things. Three. First, I want to tell the Olam, why do we get together? For two reasons. There's a contradiction. One place it says that we are judged individually. Oivrim lefon of Tivnei Morim. Each and every one of us is judged individually. And then he says, "V'chulam nisroim b'stira achas." We are all judged as one. So, what is it? Aboy say, there's two mishpatim. We are judged individually, but sometimes cholila a person can lose the mishpat on an individual basis. But if he's a part of the tzibu can tell the Rabbanu Shel Olam, "We need him." That's the koyach of the tzibu. And why do we need each other? There was a giant after the war in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Avdolah Eisner. He was the Mashgiach in the Gerei Yeshiva in Tel Aviv. A person who lost everything. Wife, children, and was the biggest mechazik in the world. And he told a personal story that happened to him. He said that at the conclusion of the war, The Germans realized they are losing the war and they tried to kill as many Yidden as possible. And they took all those that survived the camp and told them to run. And they told them, the minute you stop running, you will be shot. And everybody knew what they said. They meant it. And he ran and he ran and he ran and he ran, because he knew the minute he's going to fall, that's the end. There's no way to get out of it. But then slowly, 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 he felt he's about to lose his strength. He's about to fall. What can he do? He'll tell them, Ribbono shel Olam, I tried my best. So as he was about to fall, a close chaver of him ran right after him. And he screamed, Gudel! Life! Life! Run! He says, I don't know what happened. A new spirit came into me. I ran, and here I am. That's when I realized two things. You never know how many koiches you really have. As the Tzorich HaKoyen says, Kishem Shetzorich L'Amin B'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shetzorich L'Amin B'Atzmai. You never know. I didn't know. But I also realized you need a good friend to bring this strength out of you. And this is why we come together. For someone to tell us, run and be strong. And I want to conclude, I said a third thing. I want to join the New York community in welcoming Yedid Nafshi, Achi Vereyu, Rav Tuvia, Rav Agoyim, Rav Tuvia Lif. When the Satmar Rav came to New York, he told Rav Bitch, Zichon HaRavah, Rav Moshe Bitch, Ir bin Yitumen, Simar Chiv Zayin, the Gvulei HaKadusha. Came to widen the Gvulei HaKadusha. And I'm sure that Rav Lif and Mitzvah Hashem will be a Koyal Godel to all of us, to the Machon, the Gvulei HaKadusha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the Siata Dishmaya to the Matzliach in his only test. HaKadosh Baruch should help us all. HaKadosh Ben Shtiyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch
Thank you very much, Rabbi Bishon. Inspiring as always, Baruch Hashem, B'liyah and Hara. Just wanted to take this opportunity to thank my colleagues at the Agudas Yisrael office, Rabbi Leibish Becker, the Executive Director of the Agudas Yisrael, for his constant support of Torah projects, Rabbi Leo Simcha Bamberger, my partner in crime, who works very, very hard together with me to help Harbatz's Torah all over. I also want to thank the technical team tonight, led by Rabbi Moshe Berghoff, who's making sure that the broadcast goes flawlessly all over the country. I also want to thank Mara Smith of the Torah Conferencing Network, who's also making this shiur available all over the United States and Canada. Rabbi Nisho mentioned that Harav Leaf recently came to New York. Harav Leaf was the Rav of Kahal Beis Yisrael in Minneapolis for over 20 years and helped build that community. He is now the Rav of the Agudas Yisrael, the largest Agudas Yisrael branch in Flatbush, Agudas Yisrael Beis Binyamin. Be'ezus Hashem, this coming Tuesday night will be the Hachtorah. We welcome him. I wanted Rabbi Leaf to feel at home, that he's still talking besides to a New York audience, he's also talking to an out-of-town audience. That's why we're hooked up to 27 locations tonight around Leaf.
Shus the Mordasra Shlita, Verbach, Rishus. Yedidi v'chavivi, Rabbi Umeri, Hagoyen, Shmuel Deshon Shlita, Rav Pearl, Rav Leibish Becker, the Margonim of Agudas Yisrael, Kola Kola Kodesh Hazeh. Generally, my nature is to begin with Milsa the V'dichasa, but because we're right now being May Elul, prior to Mirachim V'Rotzoin, because Klal Yisrael has suffered so, especially in the past several weeks, at every level, I want to take a different approach. 70 years since the beginning of World War II, Churban Europa, the story was told to the publisher, the editor of the Hamodia, Mrs. Lichtenstein, by the Baldova himself, the survivor himself. This man had arrived in the concentration camp. There was a selection process. Family and friends to the left, and he to the right. He came into the dressing room, which was really an undressing room. His hair was shorn, and his clothing was taken from him. He had one thing that he treasured, a tiny tillum given to him on his bar mitzvah, printed in Eretz Yisrael. And foolishly he thought he can survive with this tillum. If he had the tillum, he'd stay alive, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically. So as he's undressing, he takes this tiny tillum and he hides it in his armpit. Before he knows it, a couple observes him, a capo and his wife, and the capo comes over and starts beating him to death. "You fool! To whom are you davening? Your friends are up in smoke, there's nothing left." The man was completely crushed. He could deal with the ghetto, with the Umschlagplatz, with the 3-day journey in the cattle car, with the selection process, seeing his family and friends, knowing where they were going. But now the last connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom was that tillum, and it's being taken away from him. And then he thinks for a moment, and he says to himself, "I recognize that voice." And subconsciously he cries out, "Shloime?" He knew that man. Shloime would share a room with him when they'd go to see the Rebbe, Yamim Neroyim, the Belzerov. And incredulously, Shloime cries out, "Sheila!" And they looked at each other. No words had to be spoken. How could Shloime become a capo a moment before he's ready to beat him to death? Shloime approaches Sheila and he says, "Sheila, I have one question to ask you. The Rav Lepnach, is the Belzer Rebbe still alive?" And in an undertone, Sheila says, "He's alive and safe in Eretz Yisrael." So the capo, Shloime, his former roommate, turns to him and says, and he gave him back his tillum. And at the end of the day, he took that message with him the entire time he was in the concentration camp. If the Rebbe is alive, there is a God. If the Rebbe is alive, Sadar Rabbeinu Shalala. Now this story, when I read this story, it moved me to tears. Imagine the personal Gehenim that this capo had to undergo to become a capo. A moment before, he's beating his friend to death because he wanted to hang on to a sefer tehillim, some connection to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the capo was so far into the abyss, mimamakim, there was no krasicho Hashem. But the Rav left. He's still connected to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There is a God in the world. That is what Elul is all about. Ani l'daydi v'daydi li means that there is a shefa, an influx of kedusha v'tahara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours over us, saturates us with, consciously, subconsciously. Every Jew has gaguim and kisufim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a spark, a nitzitz of kedusha that's waiting to be ignited. We're living in troubling times for many reasons. 7 out of every 10 Jews are intermarrying, acculturation. Can be massive such a thing? A recent study says 70% of the Jews in North America assimilate. A Jewish boy or girl will marry a non-Jewish boy or girl, winning the battle and losing the war. But we're not just lost. or like lost objects that are yearning to be found, that's anila deidiva deidili. There was a younger man in the Miri Yeshiva many years ago, a Kloisenberger younger man, and he learned Fleissig with tremendous hasmada. It's a great Talmud Chacham. And this fellow started missing one day a month. So the Rosh Keller of Blazer Ginsburg approached him and said, "You're such a wonderful younger man. Why is it that you've started slacking off?" He says, "I'll tell you the truth. It happened with Yena Machla, with that dreaded disease. And once a month I have to go for chemotherapy." And he says, "I'm just too debilitated to learn." Several months later, his condition worsened, and Blazer Ginsburg went to visit him in the hospital. Here's this Kloisenberger younger man in Mir Talmud, and he's plugged into every apparatus and every machine, some life support, and he beckons to Blazer and he says, "We need to find a shidduch for the bacha that sits next to me." And Blazer couldn't believe it. So Litvish Bacha, Kloisenberger younger man, what connection does he have? And that's the first and last thing on his mind, to find a shidduch for his bacha. So he says to him, "We'll talk about the shidduch later. Let's see you getting better." Kach mekublani, says Chizkiya HaMelech, mi beis avi abo, afilu cherev chado munachas al tzavoroi shel odom al yimne atzmoi min harachamim. And the conventional approach is, no matter how difficult the situation is, the sword of Damocles is hanging over your head, you're about to expire, you're losing your business, you're losing your home. Don't give up hope. But this younger man said the Kloisenberger Rebbe taught us something else. No matter how desperate your situation is, how much pain you're in, how terribly financially your situation is, al yimnam and arachamim, don't stop having rachmanas. Don't stop having compassion. Don't give up on helping others. We need to find a shidduch for this bacha. 2 days later, the younger man passed away. Rabbi say, we need a reality check. I agree, these are difficult times. Tragedies, spiritually, emotionally, and certainly financially. Chil Hashem, that's very difficult to clean up after. But what happened 70 years ago? What about those Yidden that survived and thrived and a Simchas Achaim? Where's our Simchas Achaim? Al Yimnam and Arachamim. No matter how difficult or tough it may be, don't stop doing Chesed. Don't stop having Rachmanis. Because things are going to turn around. You know, World War I was eclipsed by World War II. We never talk about World War I. Because the horrors of Churban Europa are beyond imagination. Over 6 million Kavanas, Kadesh Eli, and 1.5 million children. And the sons and the daughters and the survivors and all the issues that they had. But World War I was very tough for Klal Yisrael. 250,000 Jews were massacred in Russia alone. It made no difference what you were, they hated us. The Reds, the Whites, the Tsar's Army, the Communists, the Proletariat, the Germans, the Russians, they were going after the Jews. It was all the Jews' fault. And the Yidden fell into terrible chalishas hadas, terrible depression. They were in terrible pain. So the Chofetz Chaim gathered some Yidden together, and this is what he did. He opened up a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and he learned what them pros poshit pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says like this: Chesam Aleph, Tanu Rabbanon. The Chachamim taught us, Yom Shenivra Boy Adam Arishin. This Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yisai, it's Chaf Hei Elul. This Rosh Hashanah, the world is created, and Adam HaRishon is created on Rosh Hashanah. Kevon Sheshoka Olav Chama, when the sun set and he's enveloped in darkness, Oma Hoi Li, woe to me, Shebishvil Shesarachti Olam Choshech Badi, V'yach Z'olam L'Soyu V'Voyu, V'Zu Hi Nisa Shenikness Olayim in Hashamayim. This is the end of the world. Adam HaRishon says the world is destroyed. He sees darkness enveloping the world. Shachar Chama, the sun is set. They're enveloped in Choshech, and he and Chava are sitting and crying, life is over. He's sitting, he's fasting, he's crying, he's lamenting, it's Tisha B'Av, it's all over. And he and Chava are crying together. Kevon Sha'olo Omud HaShachar Omer Minhagir Shal Olam Hu. The minute it was daybreak and the sun began to rise, he said, it's the minig of the Velt. But it happened again the next night. Why didn't he crush the next night? Why wasn't he terrified the next night to be enveloped in darkness once again, to remember all that fear, all that pain, all the suffering? Zok to Chavetz Chaim, because Adam and Chava understood. We got out of this mess once, we'll get out of it again. During World War II, there was an upheaval of kehilos, of communities. Millions of people were wandering the face of the earth with no bread, with no food, with no shelter. Families were dispersed. Said, Chavetz Chaim, this isn't the first time. This is the Minigah Ilam. We triumphed, we succeeded, and the sun rose, it's going to happen again. Rabbi say, as maminim, b'nei maminim, it's the same with Klal Yisrael as it is with the financial world. There have been depressions, there have been recessions, but the businessmen know better than I do. All the figures of the bull markets and all that have occurred, there's no question there are bad times and good times. And the good times will roll once again. And people have to realize that there's a great nechama in this Gemara. Bofen ruchani, bofen gashmi. Don't get so fixated with what's going on here and now. It's not going to last. I'm not predicting exactly when the economy is turning around. I'm leaving that to our president and stimulus package. But at the end of the day, and that's why Adam and Chava didn't cry, didn't lament, didn't krechts. Because that's the teva of the Welt. And dozak the Gemara. Omar min hogay shel oilom hu. That's the minig of the Welt. So first and foremost, let's take comfort with all the difficult economic woes, with the difficult times that we've experienced, financially, spiritually, emotionally, with Ishtangedach Tzoris in Eretz Yisrael, in the mountains, in different cities, in different communities, all over the country, all over the world. But the pasuk continues, Umimena, from there they're going to be saved. And that's what we're commemorating here and now. The Gemara says on Daf, Tezayin Amidbeis in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah, any year that begins with poverty ends up with great wealth. Zok Rashi explains Rashi, She Yisrael Oisen Atzvan Roshan. Klal Yisrael considers themselves to be impoverished. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, nobody claps, nobody bangs, nobody screams for help like an impoverished person. This whole Gemara is very difficult to understand. The Heilige Baditshva explains it as follows. Rav Yitzchak Baditshva explains that if you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, "Kumt mir, I've done so many mitzvahs and it's my due," then when the mitzvahs are depleted and the account is empty, there's nothing left for you to take. If you're on the cheshbon of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, L'cha Hashem Atztaka, V'lanu Baishas Aponim, Manasayin, Manoyim, Manadaba, all that you're doing is a chesed, kedal mecharashim, the fact of lasecha, that it's limitless what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide. The Gemara itself is hard to understand. The Gemara says that if you want success during the course of the year, in Reishis Hashanah, from the beginning of the year, make sure you're a rush, make sure you're poor. So does that mean if we follow the Gemara to the letter of the law, tonight you'll all come to us, the Rabbanim, and we'll take all your possessions, and it's not going to be like Mechiras Chametz, it's going to be Mamish forever. You relinquish all your ownership. Everybody that's parked outside, double parked, I hope you weren't towed, but everybody else that's out there parked, just hand me the car keys. We'll figure out what to do with it, because you want to be successful this year. Write over the deed to the house. Give every more possession that you have on earth, you're going to hand away. As I state, Kol Shana Shel Rasha B'Tchivosa, you have to be poor, impoverished. This bothered Rashi. This bothered Rashi, so Rashi says, no, 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 that's not what it means. She Yisrael Oysen Atzmon Roshin. We make believe that we're poor. Oh, that's gewaltig. Now I really understand Pshat. If I make believe I have nothing to the tuition committee and to everyone else in life, I'm going to be a wealthy man. As I state, She Yisrael Oysen Atzmon Roshin. The Teretz of Rashi is more difficult than the Kasha. Hagoyin Rav Naftali Trub Zatzal gives a phenomenal answer. And he says the pshat's like this. He says, people come to Rosh Hashanah and they think, what I have, now I need more stuff. I have a wife, I have children, I have in-laws, I have parents, I have siblings, I have a home, I have a vacation home, I've got three cars, that's what I have, now this is what I need. I need a better job, I need more money, I need more income, I need an addition, I need a new washer dryer, I need. Zakrun Naftali, Yisrael, Isan, Atzman, Russian, everything's on the line. Everything's on the line, nothing is a given. Sifrei Chaim Umesim, Zukum Lefanov, Rosh Hashanah, Leil Shabbos, it's all on the line, we realize it. Klal Yisrael understands. Kol Shana Sherasha B'Tchilasa Misasheras B'Saifa She Yisrael Oysen Atzman Roshin. There's no given. I celebrated a vart last week of a member of Akihila here in New York, and I saw the wonderful Zay this Sunday night. And Monday I attended his levaya, and he was a healthy man, 62 years old. Matcha Gimpel, at Tzadik in Barabak. He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, opened the Lakewood Minyan. He learned Shas 20 times. He was an accountant, Rabbi Isai. He was an accountant. And he finished Shas 20 times, and his kid said it was more than 20 times. Because he chazed always in Shabbos, whatever he learned. And during Gimeel, he had a Kabbalah. He learned Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Sukkah. And all the halachas of Yom Tov. And he was there Sunday night, larger than life. And Monday I attended his levaya. So you tell me, if everything and anything is a given. That's called Shana Sherasha, B'tchilasa Misasheras B'Seifa. Let's do a reality check. You know, this is a Beis Medrash of Torah. It's an outstanding fortress of Torah. Bnei Torah who happened to be Balabata. And I'm speaking to Minneapolis and to Philadelphia and to Boston and to Cleveland and to Chicago and to Milwaukee, and there are such Bati Midrashim all across the country. Purple Mountain Majesties are dotted with Bati Midrashim of Bnei Torah that happen to also be accountants or lawyers or doctors. So what I'm about to tell you is Negel and Maisa. The Shlokish gave a shir. G'doyle tshuva shema peches zdoynish lishkagais. See, there's a problem, Rabbi Yisrael. The Gemara in Yuma Pevov says, over Avera, you're over an Isra, say, you're supposed to take a Luv and Esrig, and you didn't take a Kosha Esrig. It's an Avera. You do tshuva, you're forgiven immediately. A Loisa say, a Lav? Yeit Chazir, Macholis Asuris, you spoke Lashon Hara? Tshuva Toilin! Be'makippa Machaba, Kippurim is going to atone. So, tshuva is put in the veins, you repent, that's wonderful, but you got to wait for Yom Kippur. You're in trouble until Yom Kippur. If you're over an Avera that you chayiv miso or karas for, you ate chametz on Pesach, the mezid, you ate chel of the hind quarter of an animal, which is the tastiest part of the meat, I'll just let you know that the closer you get to the hind quarter, the more marbled is the meat. That's why rib steak is more flavorful than shoulder steak. And so when you get to the rump roast, and you get to the tenderloin and the sirloin, it's even more geschmack. Because you can't dine out, and you had a T-bone steak. And you did it b'mezid. Issa karis. Yimachal Shabbos. Issa skila. Tshuva is in abeyance. Yom Kippur is hanging. And the only thing that's mechapa yisurin. Rachman l'tzlan. Pain, suffering. But let's say a person is over on the Avera of Chil Hashem. And can we honestly say, all of us in this room, Heilige B'nai Ali, and throughout the country, that we haven't somehow touched on the Avera of Chil Hashem this year? Oh, that's a religious Jew acts. They all act that way. They're all that way. What did you do already? You cut around the lane. You're a religious Jew. All the religious Jews are that way. You make the Chil Hashem. Yisurin, tshuva, Yom Kippur is in abeyance, v'yoyim hamisa. That's pretty scary. The only thing that's going to be your salvation is your death. Avoyin chil Hashem. Profaning, desecrating the name of God. We represent the Rebbeinu Shem. Why did Hitler Yamach Shemai send out 1,000 Waffen SS to find a little kid hidden in the countryside in a farmhouse? Because he knew what we represented. He knew what we represented. Mamlechas Kainim v'gai Kadesh. So a member of the Yom HaNivcha creates a Chil Hashem, nothing is going to help except Yom HaMisa. So Rish Lakish comes and he says, I've got a solution. You do tshuva, then the Zdainais that you did, the Mezid becomes Shkagais. The Talmidim said, Eini, it's not that way. You told us last year a much more exciting shir. G'dayla tshuva shema peches zdoinais lezachiais. You spoke 1,000 words of Lashon Hara, it's 1,000 mitzvahs. Says Mishlokish, kan tshuva meyira, kan tshuva meyava. You open up the Reishis Chachma, I'm not talking about the primer, but the safer Reishis Chachma. And you see how an individual does averis, and he's over a face. He lacks Shmir Sanayim, he doesn't look where he's supposed to look, or he looks where he's not supposed to look, or he has a begrudging eye, then they hang him up, lost his loving by his eyeballs. It's pretty graphic. It's pretty easy to do tshuva meyira. What's tshuva meyava? And he did, they did, I love him, he loves me. And there's no such thing as sin now, do tshuva later plan. That doesn't work. Because how many mitzvahs already do we do in the course of a lifetime? You know why it says that, the Gemara says that the mokim shebalei tshuva oimdim tzadikim gemurim lo yecholim lamed, where the truly repentant stand, even the most righteous can't stand. It's very simple. It's because how many mitzvahs can you do? We'll do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esther. We'll spend a month looking for the hadas, mishpim, mishulashim, not roiv. We want all. We'll pay extra money. We'll pass the 20 lulavim to love until we find the right one. It's one mitzvah. But you look where you're not supposed to look. You speak Lashon Hara, 10,000 averes. So, G'dayla tshuva shema peches zdainais lezachiais is tshuva me'ava. And that's the kind of tshuva that's going to turn Averis into mitzvahs. So how do you do tshuva me'ava? The Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dalet, Perek Lamed Aleph, suggested reading. He says, tshuva me'ava is only done one way. With what we're doing right now, with what all of you are dedicated to doing. Esek HaTorah Karoi. If a person immerses himself in Torah properly, yizaycha to tshuva me'ava. You turn averus into mitzvahs. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar ha'zecha, v'karveinu malkeinu avinu l'sar ha'zecha, v'chizireinu b'shuv mishleim ha'levanecha. It starts off with Torah and yizaycha to tshuva me'ava. Out of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who learns Torah, oyeves ha'malkim, that's tshuva me'ava. And the Shachaim says, you don't need karbonis. You don't need Asher Mochatas. Zayis Torahs ha'ayla. All you need is Torah. Kui Machem Dvarim. The Yidden complained, the Medrash says. How are we going to afford Karbanis? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Karbanis I want. Learn Torah. And everything is forgiven. We have no Beis HaMikdash. We learn Torah. Isak HaTorah Karoi. Being Taivo. In the Kfal of Torah. Huzaycha Tetshuva Me'ava. So one thing to remember is everything's on the line. And when we remember everything's on the line, we start fresh, we do tshuva mi'ava, we turn our averus into mitzvahs. We have the reality check of what went on years ago, what people are going through today. But there's another nekuda that we need. We're seasoned believers, maminim, b'nei maminim, we have to believe that what we do works. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And the Gemara talks about two people that have the identical illness. They're both about to die. One's yored, one goes down from the bed, he's completely healed, and one dies. Two are judged legardum, they're found to be treasonous. High treason. They lack fealty to the monarch, and they're sentenced to death on the morrow. And one lives and one dies. And the Gemara says, why did that happen? This one daven, this one didn't daven. They both didn't daven. This one daven tefila shlema, and the other one didn't daven tefila shlema. Says Rashi, niskaven, he was mechaven, he wasn't mechaven. Let me ask you a pashta kasha. The hangman's noose is not on the door of the university, it's over your neck. It's around your neck. The axe is up and ready to come down. The man's about to die, and the doctor says, it's all over. So one fellow davens with kavod, the other one's distracted. He talks to him, Chazar HaSashans. He looks at the garbage truck going around the shul 7 times. It's so exciting. He shares it with his friends. Zach Meshuga, how could you not be mechava when your life's on the line? No atheist in a foxhole. Everyone's being mechava. They're both crying. So it's a very an incredible thing. It's very simple. The skaven means this one believes it works and this one doesn't believe it works. The fellow who believes it works cries his eyes out and davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He relies completely on Hashem and he realizes that it's up to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he's healed and he's saved. The other fellow, he's crying, that's you. She gives up hope. When you step up with the mazda to daven, you have to believe with your full heart that it works. That you can change the world, that you can change yourself, that you can guarantee life for everyone. That's tefillah. Das heißt gedavet. There's another nekuda that I believe we need to touch on, and how to deal with troubling times and the lessons to be learned from troubled times. It's the lesson of carpe diem, seize the moment, seize the day. Whether it's an aliyah or yerida, whether it's difficult times or good times, kunsha. Chaim Shmuel Levitz says over the Gemara that David HaMelech had married Michal Bas Shaul, and Shaul HaMelech took that marriage, annulled the marriage, and gave her as a wife to Palti Ben Laish. So Palti Ben Laish is married now to Michal Bas Shaul, and the Gemara says Palti Ben Laish takes out a sword and he sticks it between the bed and he says whoever crosses the sword is going to be killed. Yitka, run through. What, a magic sword? Abracadabra, it's going to come and chop off his head if he crosses over the line? We want him shot. It's mutter, it's mutter. It's also, it's also. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, he was marking time. He realized at that point in time that possibly he should not be the husband of Michal. What will be 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Her child is Geschmack, her Lakshan Kugel is Gavaldik. Everything is working out great. He's going to forget. He's going to lose that level. You take a sword and you drive it into the ground. You mark time. And you say there was a point in time when I realized that this was so usser and so prohibited that if I crossed the line, the sword should decapitate me. Chaim Shalevitz says that's what Yiddishkeit's all about. He said he was traveling. As they were leaving Vladivostok to Kobe, Japan, ultimately to Shanghai, China, they were in a tramp steamer that was so unseaworthy that the minute the Bokhram disembarked in Kobe, Japan and went out to sea, it promptly sunk. It sank. So as they're leaving, they're terrified. They're on the train, the KGB agents are there. These are enemies of the state. They want to leave Mother Russia, the Rodina, and they're escorting them to the border. And finally they get on the ship, and a destroyer follows them out to international waters. They were convinced, a shot over the bow, they're going to somehow ram them, they'll sink them. When that Russian destroyer turned back to the Rodina, to Mother Russia, all the Bachram burst out in euphoric song and dance. The heavens had opened and the Rebbeinu Shlomo had saved them. So Reb Chaim, he knew that he would never be able to recapture that moment, to relive it. But he internalized that moment. Like Palti ben Waish. And that's what these times are all about. The good times and the difficult times, if we overcame this Nisayan, we'll be able to deal with anything. And really, Shmuel Shon Shlita spoke about Rabbi Chanan. It's well known that in the 30s, in the time of the Depression, it was a time of worldwide economic turmoil. Now, as with the recent problems that we face, it has nothing to do with natural phenomena, with a drought or a famine. That didn't cause the decline in the financial market then, and it's not causing it today. Rabbi Chanan explained what's lacking in Hashem's world. He said this in the 30s. Is there any lack of food? In Canada, wheat is being dumped in the sea to prevent prices from falling. The same applies to Brazilian coffee. Is there any scarcity of money? The Swiss banks are filled with money. No one's complaining. The coffers are filled with gold. But there's no place to invest, and no one wants to lend any money. Bochanan said, a nifldike abtach. He said, commerce and industry are based on mutual confidence and trust between people. When trust has been destroyed, the economy comes to a standstill. This is Mida Keneged Mida, says Rabbi Chanan. Hashem knows, Beichin, Kloyes, Velev, he understands the innermost thoughts of man. When man has trust in Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him faith in the economic system. But when faith in Hashem wanes, Hashem responds by causing man's faith in his fellow to weaken. Neighbors become distrustful of one another. Businesses become distrustful of one another. Nations become distrustful of one another. And an economic downturn is set in motion. This is what Rabbi Chanan said in the 30s. And how true it is today. This is a time to be mechazek ourselves in emuna pshuta. The pasuk says that Sur Tamim Paloi Ki Chol Drachav Mishpat Keil Emunah Ve'Ein Ovel. Hashem is perfect. Keil Emunah Ve'Ein Ovel. A God of faith, Ve'Ein Ovel, no iniquity. That's a strange thing to say. Could you imagine? I'd like you to meet my chava. He's a wonderful man, Yankel Goldstein, and he's not a ganf. Yeah, tremendous smile. He never lies. That's the smile of Yankel Goldstein. I apologize if there are any Yankel Goldsteins out there. There's Zorach. There's not too many Zorachs out there in America today. I'm sorry, Zorach in Michigan. But Begitzer, there's not too many Zorachs. Zorach is gewaldig! He doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't throw his mother-in-law down the stairs, he's a tzaddik! Zorach? He's mamash a tzaddik. That's the ma'alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ovel? The Darki Mus is bothered by this, and he says, you know what? It's easy for man to believe in a perfect God when things are going well. But when there are difficult times like Churban Europa and your faith remains intact, that's Hatzor Tamim Pa'alai. But the Chazon Ish explained, a master tailor is given an exquisite bolt of cloth and he starts hacking and slashing the pieces. He has no idea, the man's berserk. He's lost his mind. But then after a while, a magnificent tailored, custom-made suit is produced and it fits like a glove to the T. You have faith in the tailor, you have faith in his process. Hatzur tamim pa'alai ki chod rakav mishpat keil emunah ve'ein aval. We don't understand why a 6-year-old child, a tzaddikal, was taken from the Manzi community. We don't understand. His father and mother are tzaddikim, his grandparents are mabitzei Torah, the balechas. We don't understand it, but ein aval. That's when emunah pshuta kicks in. And Rabbi said we need to learn about emunah. We need to internalize emunah. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, his Aleich Levanai Vayesamim, walk before me and become whole. According to Pirkei the Rebbe Lezer, it's before the last 3 Nisyonos of Avram. Bris Milah, the circumcision of Avram, chasing away, vanquishing Yishmael in the desert to die, and killing Yitzchak, taking him as a korban eilah. You know what Tamim Hashem Alekecha means, says Rashi? Al tachkor achar asidus. Don't worry how it's going to play out. Don't debate the future. Just do what Hashem wants you to do. Avraham Avinu preached no self-mutilation. Respect your body. It's the temple of God. Don't slash yourself in mourning. Don't slash yourself for a pagan god. And now he is mutilating himself. With Bris Milah, circumcision, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleich Lefanai Vayesamim. To vanquish Yishmael, flesh and blood, into the wilderness, Hesalech Lefanai Vayesamim. To take Yitzchak as the Akedah, Hesalech Lefanai Vayesamim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us today. Let the good times roll, they will roll. And like the Chafetz Chaim said, the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, the sun sets and it rises once again. But when we are enveloped in personal darkness, or a community, or an economy, Hesalech Lefanai Vayesamim, that's the challenge we all face here and now. The Kloisenberger Rebbe Zatzal was being beaten by a kapo, and there are different versions of the story. And as he's being beaten, some versions are it was a German who said to him, "Are you still the chosen people?" Others say it was a kapo who said to him, "Do you still believe Ata v'chatana mikol ha'amim? That you're chosen and selected from all the nations of the world? Look at you and look at me." And this kapo had traded in his neshama for an extra piece of bread. And the klezmer thought for a moment. He said it was the one time that he paused. And then he continued and he said, "Because I know that if the roles were reversed, I would never do this to you. Ata v'chaltonu mikolu amin. Now I know ata v'chaltonu mikolu amin. What Yid would do this? What Yid would react this way? And why? Because ata v'chaltonu mikolu amin, you have uplifted us." Rabbi is saying, man reaches highest when he's lowest. Shir HaMaloi is a song of ascents. Mimamakim krasich Hashem. I call out to you from the depths. The Holocaust, the Churban Europa, brought out the nobility of the spirit of most people that experienced it. That's what every Nisayan does. It's like a nace, a banner. And you wave it, and you plant that flag. Rav Aronson was the Rebbe Pesach Tikva. And he had a minig, midayrei dayreis, not to say, kivono v'chalto v'sonei kidashtu mikol ha'amim, apikaboli, need 35 words in Kiddush, and they didn't say that. Agav Orcha, the Amshin of Romero once met the Belzer Rebbe, Rav Aron. And he said from his father, Rav Yankiv David, me Amshin of, the Zayda actually, his Alta Zayda, what do you do by Vehisha Amda? You cover up the matzis. The Zayda, the elder Zayda, the Amshin of Yankiv David, matzis are deraisa. And Kiddush is the Rabbana. So why do you cover the matzis in honor of the Kiddush? He says, is that the Seder, we have to remind ourselves, v'hishamdo v'sin of Alanu, what has protected and withstood and given us the ability to withstand all of the trials and tribulations of Golas? He, the Minhagim, the Messiah, not to deviate a Kutsa Shoyud from the Messiah of our parents, our grandparents, and our great grandparents. Those Minhagim, Hishamdo v'sin of Alanu, they try to destroy us, but it's the He, it's these little things in life, the Messiah that we have from our parents and grandparents, that stands by us and gives us the ability to survive and to succeed. And it said that Rabbi Avraham Belzer was on Pesach Chalamoid. He said, give me a paper and pen. It's a Dover Shavid. I have to write this down. It's a Dover Shavid. So getting back to our story, the Rav of Pesach Tikva, Rav Aronson, and this meaning, not to say Kivonu v'chartu v'sonu kidashtu mikol amin, but after he went through the Gehenna of Europe, written in the Sefer Ali Merures, he said, I see how low the world can get to and how high Klal Yisrael can rise to. He changed his meaning, Kivonu v'chartu v'sonu kidashtu mikol amin. These are times that we can learn and teach ourselves and our children the need to rise above the mediocrity of the conditions of the time. I heard a word from Yedidi v'chavivi, Hagayim Reb Aaron Steinschlit, the Roshiva in Peekskill, one of your neighbors here in Muncie, Macharusin, tells the Shiva for 5 years, second Seder Erev Shabbos from his father, Hagayim Reb Pesach Stein, that tells the Rosh Hashiva Zatzah. Hanistoris l'Hashem Elokeinu v'anigloi slonu l'vaneinu ad oylom lazeiz es kol divrei HaTorah zeiz. Hanistoris, if you keep your Yiddishkeit a secret, if it's nistorois between you and God, it remains between you and God. The hanigloys, but if your children see your hasmada and Torah and chesed and mitzvahs, the way you welcome them in shulach, the way you feel somebody else's pain, the way you are compassionate, you never give up in doing rachamim for others, lanu ulavaneinu ad olam l'asayis, to do all the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to teach our children that it's geschmack and wonderful to be a Yid, and how Zaidi or Tati or Daddy or Mommy or Abba or Ima were able to transcend the difficult times and deal with downsizing, but still kept their storim and kept on learning and kept on avoiding misses and kept on feeling compassion for others, and then it'll be Lonu Ulavaninu Adailam. That's the aside of these times. They're going to pass. The good times will roll. But what are our children learning from us and how to deal with challenges? And I believe that's pshat in the Volitzin. We say in Volitzin, "Hu yiftach libeinu b'serosai, v'yasim b'libeinu avosai v'irosai, lases atzani l'avdu b'leiv v'shalim, l'man lo'i nigal l'rik, v'lo'i neilu d'ba'ha'ula." You want to make sure that your children don't go the wrong way? Then yiftach libeinu b'serosai, yasim libeinu avosai v'irosai, lases atzani l'avdu b'leiv v'shalim. We have to do everything b'leiv v'shalim like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. Tzemach Tzedek once told his chassidim, don't make the mistake of Vienna. There was a tzaddik in the midst. He did his vitalist in the basement. Nobody knew that he was close to God. Not his family, not his neighbors, no one. And whenever he'd give tzedakah, he'd write down a reduced amount in his ledger. He gave 50 rubles, he'd write down 5. So when he died, guess what? The family found the ledger and they said, all we have to give is 5 rubles. You have to show your family your chesed. You don't have to publicize it to the world, but to your children, nigloi slonu l'vaneinu. Heard from Rabbi Moshe Kana today from Toronto, Gavaldi Gavaldi, this is what he said. Hashemir Shabbos, Habeinim Habas, Lokel Yerotzu, Kemincha Machas. You know, there are very different types of menachas that are brought, and they're defined by the type of pan that they put in. Machavas is flat. If you're Shomer Shabbos, like a Machavas, where it's evident to all that you're enjoying Shabbos and celebrating Shabbos and anticipating Shabbos and keeping Shabbos, then it's going to be Habeinim Habas. We want to be able to raise good children, get them out of this crisis that we find ourselves in. That's the only way to do it. My neighbor, my nesaper, talking about it, the Hoyben at Sibur, talking about people that are Yoreim and Shleimim, people that have come tonight to learn, to be Nesayer. Thank HaGudas Yisrael for this opportunity and this wonderful Beis HaMedrash. But there's one thing I want to leave you with. To the B'nai Torah. The Tshuva Me'ava, Esa Karoi, you have to be Toivel in the Mikveh. You know, the only way it's going to work is like the Gemara and Brachas Taf Tezvav Medbeis Tezayinam and Aleph says, Kaholim Natayu. There's a connection between Necholim and Aholim. The same way Necholim Amalim Itum Alatara. Oiholim Amalim Ikav Choyve Lekav Sos. This is Mamish the Nefesh HaChayim. That when an individual learns Torah, it turns his Averis into Mitzvahs. But it has to be in the Mikveh. You have to be totally immersed. Shem Yishmol, the Helga Sochachav says, Mikveh works as follows. There are land creatures and sea creatures. And a sea creature cannot survive in the land. You take a land creature and immerse him in the water, he dies. When a person goes into the Mikveh, totally immersed in the water, he's a land creature in the water. He has no life support, no connection to dry land, he dies. He comes out, it's Tchias HaMeisim. That's how Mikveh works. I believe that's what Sukkah is all about. You go into the Sukkah, Tzelet B'Musa, Tzelet Kodesh HaBrichu, and the faith that you have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the presence of Hashem, and you walk out a different person. That's how the Blat Gemara has to be. You want to be Malam Mikav Chayvel HaKav Schos, be Toivel in the Gemara! You know what this means? The Halig and Nashim Tzidkani is that are listening and learning now with us, that are sitting in the Ezra Snashim all over America, North America, are the ones that are machazik, their husbands and their children, their spouses and their friends to learn Torah. They inspire them. They push them out the door. They cajole, beg, threaten. You gotta learn. You know what they're doing? They're affecting tshuva me'av, the turning of virus into mitzvahs. But you know how you know if the person had Esa Katera Karoi? If when he finishes the Blat Gemara, he's a different human being. If he comes out, Tchias HaMeisim, a different kind of husband, son, father, friend, neighbor, yid, human being. If not, that wasn't Esa Katera Karoi. If you title the Sheretz B'yadai, if you immerse yourself and you have the rodent in your hand, you can't become tar. If one here is outside of the mikveh, it invalidates the tefillah. Forget the cell phones, forget the blueberry, forget the text messaging, and forget the clock. Right now what we're dealing with is Esek HaTaira Karoi. Total immersion in Taira. Not 5 minutes on, 5 minutes off. How are you going to boil an egg if you keep on turning the fire on and off? There has to be consistency. A golden hour, or two, or three, where there's no batola, there's no distractions. Meimis Atzmai Kamidbar. That's Esek HaTaira Karoi. That's total immersion. To the extent when a person comes out, he's different. Rav Giftis Atzal explained the Gemara in Brachas, Rabbi Akiva's encounter with Pappas. Pappas says, Rabbi Akiva, what's your problem? In Asif, Makelis Baram, to teach Torah, they're going to kill you. Rabbi Akiva says the famous Mashi. Pappas had no problem with Akiva learning Torah. Learn in Chavrusa, learn in your house. What are you going to the base membership for? What are you going to the Kail for? What are you doing it publicly? Why thousands of Talmidim? Just do it on your own. You're infuriating them. So to Bekiva, because here I live, there I die. The famous marshal with the fish. In the water evading the fisherman's net, the fox says, why don't you come on land? You're the smartest of the animals. You're a fool because here I live and there I die. Fish out of water dies. Frek, my river, a gift is atzal. Any creature deprived of its natural resources is going to die. You deny a bear hydration, nutrition, it's going to die. A human being can't breathe oxygen, it's going to die. So of course a fish out of water dies after gift to half of it. And I come from the land of 10,000 lakes. It's on the license plates in Minnesota. I haven't counted them. There are a lot of lakes. And I learn by me, they learn Gishmak, they dive in Gishmak in Minneapolis, they're tzaddikim, they're gevaldik, and they also like to fish. So what ends up happening is, you're out there on Lake Minnetonka, and you catch a walleye, and it's 15 pounds, and you bring it into the boat, and it's larger than life, it's soaring, it's crashing, it's poetry in motion, it's clopping, it's banging. It's dying, says Rav Gifta. It's a geisesing. Those are death throes. A fish out of water dies. That's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. People come out of the Beis Medrash, they finish learning. Aha, big Kanaka, captain of industry. He's so well known. He's built skyscrapers. He's like Superman. Able to leap a tall building in a single bound. It's giant. Gavaldi, Superman. He's dying. He's a geisesing. All that noise, death throes. When does a Yid really live? When he's swimming placidly in the water. Now I know I'm addressing an audience of B'nai Torah, but not everybody sits and learns 24/7. So what am I telling you? I'll tell you what I'm telling you. I have a cousin in Brooklyn, New York. You know, I just moved out of town. I live now in Brooklyn, New York. I'm out of town. And in Brooklyn, I have a cousin out of town. His name is Ronnie Kagan. He has a big fish tank, 200-gallon fish tank, with saltwater fish. Anybody knows about fish? They're the most colorful, exotic, and beautiful fish that there are. And Ronnie doesn't just have a fish tank. He's got moats and drawbridges and castles and sunken treasure. All the fish in the fish store are dying to get into Mr. Kagan's fish tank. And I was in Taravadasa Flatbush. Yossi Florence and I built Taratamim. We would stand on the corner of Avenue P and McDonald Avenue by the F train, if you know what I'm talking about. And all the people were coming down. And this was in the 60s, Rabbi say. They weren't like a lot of Yidlach coming down. No matter who they were. Can you help us build our school? Can you help us build our school? And we made a lot of money. Aga Vurche, his father, Rav Aaron Florence, is an incredible Yid. He once told me, Pshat, Meshitfili, you know what's Pshat? Hakol kol yankiv vayadayim yideyesav. He says it goes on the alarm clock. Hakol kol yankif, it wakes you up to learn, to go to slichus, to daven. Vayadayim, hit the snooze, vayadayim yideyesav, to go back to bed. So the kids in 1 year, our beloved Menahel decided they're going to go El Cheapo. Instead of giving us these wooden tops that spun around, or these sparmet they gave us, they were out of print for 20 years, they gave us a goldfish in like a styrofoam cup with tap water. When the Ocean Avenue, the bus on Ocean Parkway, the school bus went from Church Avenue in Caton all the way to our stop at Quentin, by the time we got there, the fish had expired. Le'oleinu v'le'olechem. It was burial at sea, if you know what I mean, when we got home. Shaila is, you leave the Beis Medrash, what kind of fish do you want to be? You want to be the guppy in the styrofoam cup? Or do you want to be in Kagan's fish tank? When you learn a concise and a sevis, when you're haravin learning, when you take the dial-a-daf with you, when you listen on the phone, when you're ligging in the ASIC, when you have your iPod, it's so beautiful to see Klal Yisrael on the subway. Aside from the fact that if you're smart, you don't make any eye contact with anybody, because who knows what the Meshuggah is going to want from you. But look at the people! Look at Klal Yisrael! Thousands of people with iPods, they're not listening to tunes! They're not listening to music! They're listening to Shiurim, they're listening to Gemara Shiurim, to the Daf Yomi, they're steiging in the cars. You can't listen to any music. Every CD, every iPod, whatever they've got going in their car, more Torah and more Torah and more Torah and more Torah and more Torah. They're taking the Beis Medrash with them. They're taking Lake Minnetonka with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be made to that. We should really steig Yimei Rachamim V'Rotzei. In Torah, Shuva Me'ava, Esek HaTorah Karoi. In never giving up from feeling compassion and mercy for others, no matter how debilitating or difficult our situation is. Realizing everything's on the line. Yisrael Eisen Atzman Roshin. Kol Shona Sherosha B'Tchilosa Misasheres B'Soifa will become enriched. May we be zeichet to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as He wants to be served. To take tremendous inspiration from the parents, our grandparents, that survived the horrors of the Churban Europa, or the near horror of Churban America, and kept Torah and mitzvahs and Yerushimayim and Chesed in the most difficult times. And we'll be zeichet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Mimorim will accept our tefillahs and our avodah. We'll be zeichet together with all of Klal Yisrael to Ksivu Simchat Torah.